Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Love Rules. Today's message, Back from the Brink. And our text today is the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read the first chapter, and then we're going to read 1 through 3 in the first chapter, and then we're going to go to 9 through 15. So Mark, the first chapter, 1 through 3, 9 through 15. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Then we go to verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. I love the Gospel of Mark. Mark is not a writer who lingers. He's my kind of writer. He lines up this first chapter, presenting a rapid succession of vivid pictures of Jesus as a man of action, always on the move, from his baptism in the River Jordan into the desert, where he's tempted by Satan, straight up the road to the province of Galilee, where he begins his ministry. There is a subtle but clear sense of urgency in the way Mark paces his story. Urgent, of course, is defined as requiring immediate action or attention. And as Christians, we sometimes overlook the urgency of God's call and our mission. While our faith is focused on the future, the promises of God, we are also called to the right now. And that's what John the Baptist is saying. Prepare. Get ready. I don't know about you, but anytime I come across John the Baptist, between you and me, I want to run. John is one of those people who makes you feel uncomfortable. You know, the kind who's been in the desert maybe 1 hour too long. He dresses weirdly while the other preachers are wearing those fine robes and driving the big cars. John is, he's got clothes made out of camel hair. And he has a strange diet. He eats locusts and wild honey. He lives alone. He doesn't get along with the rest of the religious leaders. He calls them a brood of vipers, as a matter of fact. And his sermons, oh my. He did not graduate from the school of how to win friends and influence people. Bear good fruit or be thrown into the fire, he says. With his blazing eyes and his long fingers stabbed in our faces, he's always judging us. Of all the people we invite to the party, I don't know if I want to put John on that list, because he's a party pooper, because he's always judging. Contemporary Christianity doesn't really cover a lot about judgment. Let's be real. Now, some preachers do. Some preachers on this very station, but many of the preachers who are in my circle don't do a lot of talk about judgment. Most of us are uncomfortable with the concept of guilt. What's the good news about my taking so much personal responsibility? When you see John the Baptist in a story, look out, because this is going to go deep and it's going to go hard, because John has this kind of role of some grim tour guide proclaiming, I'm going to send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Make straight paths. You can't go into this crooked. You've got to be straight. And we are going somewhere. Of course, John is quoting the prophet Isaiah, whose words refer to the restoration of God's people after the exile. Isaiah preaches that the nation of Israel will be restored, so the people need to get ready. They're not ready. And Isaiah says, every mountain and hill will be brought down. There's the judgment. The greedy and the arrogant, the selfish will be made humble. And then he says, every valley will be raised up. Those who are on the bottom will come to the top. change is coming. God is going to take care of all of the problems in the world. Now, hundreds of years later, I would argue that John is giving us the same message. This is particularly important to the people in the region of Israel at the time where Jesus begins his ministry. These are the descendants of exiles. Capernaum was one of the towns founded when the Jews returned from the exile in Babylon. Now, this land, which includes the province of Galilee, Nazareth, Capernaum is ruled by the Roman Empire. It's run by the temple in Jerusalem. I want you to know the kind of the historical context, so that's how we can learn our lessons. Most of the people in this area are poor, working-class people. They're fishermen, they're farmers, and their living conditions are really bad. The ruling class, that's the high priest, the Pharisees, all those in charge, have not been treating the working class very well. The poor people are being thrown off the land, and they're kind of in their own kind of exile. And it's not necessarily just geographical. They're cut off from prosperity. They're cut off from justice. On top of that, everybody is in a spiritual exile because they've lost sight of God, and they don't know Jesus. Now, that's my definition of sin. Either we have never known Jesus, or we've lost sight of who Jesus is, what Jesus preaches, what salvation is in Jesus' heart. Either way, it takes us away from where we should be and places us on the brink. Being on the brink means you're away from righteous behavior. You're away from love. You are away from fairness and justice. And most importantly, you're pulled away from experiencing the grace of Jesus. That is what I mean by exile. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on giving. Thank you. God bless you. Spiritual exile is being disconnected from that which we need most. Disconnected from something, though we may not be able to articulate it, we long for the most. I have long believed that whether you know Jesus or not, you long for Jesus because of his love and his mercy and his grace. You know, that's what we need most. I watch people on the streets and I interact with people in the stores and at the toll booths, and people are sad. People are angry. I don't know if you've noticed it, but I think a lot of people these days are sad and desperate and angry, and they're not sure why. And I would suggest to you that people long for God's mercy and God's grace. Whether we admit it or not, this love, this grace, this mercy is part of our true nature. Now, there are many theologians who disagree with me. They argue that our true nature is sinfulness. David laments in the book of Psalms, "I was sinful at birth." But I'm going to step out here on a theological limb today and say that God made us in God's image. That means for one shining instant, we were perfect, free from sin and death. We were beautiful and holy. And then, of course, within a few seconds, we turned away from God and started heading for that tree. We started thinking on our own and thinking we could make our own decisions and that we were self-sufficient. That's essentially the story of Adam and Eve. That action was turning away from truth, heading in our own direction, out on the brink, the extreme edge right before that drop into oblivion. Now, I use the term brink because even then, when God might have pulled the plug and let us fall, he draws us back. Remember after Adam disobeyed and God calls out to Adam, "Where are you?" He's been calling to us, searching for us, ready to pull us back from the brink ever since. The word I want to focus on today is repent. The word repent has all kinds of layers of meaning in the Bible. The first one, of course, is that contrition, that being sorry for our sin. We need to apologize. We have to confess. But the Greek definition takes it even deeper.
It means a change of heart. So this is not just what I say, it's what I act on. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict us of sin. So the Holy Spirit stirs our conscience, and we not only need to apologize for wrongdoing, we turn away from wrongdoing by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the grace of God. So repentance then is saying I'm sorry and meaning it, and then doing something different, taking it in a different direction. The people in the region of Galilee where Jesus begins his ministry might have understood it at a different level. The Hebrew Bible that they were most familiar with, the Bible that the Pharisees quoted, defined repentance as something akin to returning from exile. God wants to pull you back. He wants you to come home. In order to return, you need to repent. You need to change. So this notion of returning from where you are to where you should be when you've lost sight of God and you have no personal relationship with Jesus, you are on the brink, at the edge, getting ready to fall off the cliff. You need to be brought back from the brink. Every miracle, every healing, every action that Jesus took brought somebody back from the brink. Remember when he raised the dead daughter of Jairus? He brought her back from the brink. When Jesus healed a man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath in the synagogue, he was taking on a system and pulling it back from the brink. When he took Matthew, the tax collector, to be one of his disciples, he was bringing him back from the brink. When he rebuked the wind and calmed the storm during that boat ride, he pulled his disciples back from the brink. God wants to pull you back from the brink. Remember that time you thought you were so sick that you weren't going to make it? Or the time you thought your marriage might have been over? Or the time you felt so much shame you didn't think God could ever forgive you? When that last breakdown turned into a breakthrough, when that last setback turned into a comeback. To be a Christian is to remember the many times that God has pulled us back from the brink. That is the God that we celebrate. That is the God we worship. That is the God we need to talk about, the God who pulls us back from the brink. Don't forget that. Live that out in your life and then tell somebody about it. Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let me.